Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 5, 1887 to 1888. Diary, June 18th, 87, Denmark, June 1st to 8th, 1887. Portions of this manuscript are published in 6 MR 145, EGWE 298 to 299. Third visit to Denmark. Brother Conradi, who was in another compartment for gentlemen, awakened us. We changed from the cars to another car, which took us to the boat. Rode 30 minutes on boat. Changed again for the cars. Rode on the island 2 hours to a strip of water. Changed again for boat. Here we had a smooth passage for about 2 hours, then took the cars again. We were favored with a compartment exclusively for women, which cars took us to Copenhagen. We had the Crown Prince of Denmark on the car. When we came to Copenhagen, there were men dressed in scarlet who were brilliantly flashing everywhere. A Brussels carpet was laid down from the car to the depot, where he passed through an arched doorway, and hacks were in waiting with plumed soldiers to escort him to his palace. We took a hack and were taken to rooms in a hotel where we were made comfortable. Brothers Olsen are looking for our convenience. We walked in the park, but I was too weak to go far. I reeled from weakness. Copenhagen. It is a beautiful day. The sky is clear and the air good. We rested well. Sister Ings and I have a room with 2 single beds. Brother Conradi and a brother from Russia have beds in an adjoining room. We had a season of prayer together in our room. I am beginning to eat a little and hope to gain strength by so doing. Copenhagen. Attended early morning meeting. Spoke a short time. There was a goodly number in attendance. I had much freedom in speaking, although it was done in great feebleness. Received letters from Elder Loughborough and from Sarah McEnterfer of Basel. Took dinner at Brother Edwin Olson's. Was sick to my stomach. Could not enjoy eating. Sister Olson has a fine, healthy boy of 1 week old, but I greatly fear that she is imprudent in trying to be too smart, fearing that she will be thought to be lazy. But we have seen too much sorrow and suffering in consequence of imprudence after childbirth. June 4, 1887. Copenhagen. Sabbath, I was very feeble. I felt that it would not be possible for me to speak without special strength being given me from the Lord. My left thumb keeps up a continual motion that I have no power to control. I am fastening upon the promises. How precious is every one of them! God Himself has proclaimed His love and His pity for His needy, suffering ones. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus 34, verse 6, 7. Nothing is too hard for the Lord to do. He will help me in my great need. He is merciful. I will not look to merit, but to His boundless goodness. He is God, the compassionate Redeemer who healeth us. God's promises are unfailing. Has He ever failed me when I have trusted in Him? I look back and cannot recount a single instance where the promises of God have not been verified. Not one good thing has failed of all that He has promised. Men may fail and break their promises, but God never forgets. His mercies are sure. His covenant is everlasting. I will trust in the Lord. June 4th, 1887. Copenhagen. 5:30. Returned to my hired rooms. The Lord has strengthened and blessed me. We had a congregation that was as intelligent and noble as any congregation I have spoken to in America. There were several merchants present and other unbelievers. They listened with respectful attention. I spoke from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5. The Lord gave me of His power and Spirit. I felt that the angels of God were round about me, strengthening me, and the hearts of the people were affected. A social meeting followed, and many humble testimonies were born with deep feelings. A man of learning has recently taken hold of the Sabbath. He is about 50 years old, and he, with a few others who have cultured intellects, were setting themselves in judgment upon Elder Madison and the translators of our books, noticing their imperfections and making their comments, criticizing and ready to throw the good all away because of some blunders, and not the most perfect rendering. These brethren were doing much harm to the church, and this conference at this time will prove a great blessing to the church. These men who had been finding fault with others' labors were more deeply broken in spirit, and we had a blessed sitting together in the name of Jesus.
What a great change in Copenhagen since we first visited them. Our meetings were held in a little damp hall, and people from the country came in, rough, ignorant, and uncultured. But the Lord was present. He gave me a testimony for the hungry souls. Next, our meeting was transferred to a basement. Above was a dancing hall, and there were saloons all around us. Drunken men would put their heads to the windows and talk and laugh and even sing, and constant watch was exercised to keep any kind of order. But the Lord gave me special messages for the people and blessed those assembled and blessed me in large measure. I spoke to them 5 times. Nearly a year ago, July 17th, I again visited Copenhagen in company with W.C. White and Sarah McEnterfer. I spoke to the people about 10 times. We had a hall, an improvement upon the one we had on our first visit, the last of October 1885. There had been special efforts made in Copenhagen by Elder Madison and Brother Brorson, and there were more than double the number when we were on our first visit, and some of the best quality of people. There had been a good work done. And now, June 4th, we see many more who have been added to the numbers of Sabbath keepers, and our hearts were made glad to see a respectable, noble, intelligent class of believers assembled in the city of Copenhagen, and to listen to their testimonies translated to me by Brother Olson. We could indeed exclaim, "What hath God wrought?" And in this great city, the work may still progress if the workers will not get above the simplicity of the work, but will keep humble and holy and dependent upon God, not trusting in themselves, not taking any glory to themselves, but depending wholly upon God for His grace, laboring with His Spirit, and then depending wholly on God to give the increase, and returning to Him all the praise, all the glory. Self must be hid in God. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21 to 23. I know that the Lord has strengthened me by His Holy Spirit, and forever His name shall have all the glory. Had profitable conversation with Brother O. Olson. After the meeting closed, 3 were baptized. They had to go in a boat to an island to secure the privileges of baptism. Copenhagen. It is another beautiful morning. I have not rested well through the night, but I feel stronger today. Have been sick, even leaving a sickbed to come upon this journey in great feebleness. Have spoken 6 times in 3 different places, and the Lord has blessed me and sustained me. Sunday filled my appointment at 3. We had an intelligent audience, and I spoke with much freedom from John 15, verse 9 to 12. The word was received in many hearts, evidenced by the tearful eye, the softened heart. Copenhagen. I arose at 4:30. Eating no supper and very little dinner, I was faint and in need of my breakfast. The hour for breakfast at 7 passed, and it was 10 minutes before 8 before the call for breakfast, 8:30. I made my breakfast of a few crackers and filberts, but I had waited too long. A terrible weakness came upon me. To prevent fainting, I lay down. A death-like faintness came upon me. Every nerve in my body seemed to quiver. Unable to get my breakfast, and thus I was unfitted for the day, weak and spiritless and nervous. It did not look sensible for me to try to fill my appointment tonight, and I decided I could not do so. I walked out with Sister Ings and was scarcely able to walk, but after returning, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I felt that I must speak to this people once more at this very time. I went to the meeting. A goodly number were present, and I spoke from 1 Corinthians 3:9. Ye are laborers together with God. The Lord gave me a very sharp testimony for the church, who had been murmuring and complaining and finding fault. After speaking to them and faithfully telling them the result of all such work, I then had the front seats vacated and urged those who wished to change their course and be laborers together with God for unity, to be one with Christ and here before God, to drop their envying and evil surmising and questioning and evil speaking, to here make a solemn covenant with God by taking these vacant seats. I think the whole church were on their feet moving for the seats, and other seats had to be vacated. I then proposed that those who felt the burden and contrition of soul for the part they had acted should confess their sins before God before we united in prayer. Many hearty, sincere confessions were made, and many more would have been made, but it was a late hour, and we engaged in prayer. I was requested to pray. Brother Madison interpreted for me. The Lord gave me the spirit of earnest intercession. Then Brother Madison prayed, and Brother Edwin Olson. There were hearts softened that night. The next move, after the meeting closed, all pressed about me to take me by the hand to thank the Lord that He had wrought for us that night. I feel indeed grateful to God for the manifestation of His Spirit and power in our midst. Copenhagen. It was 10:30 when our meeting closed last night, and my mind had been so exercised and so burdened I was unable to sleep until 1 o'clock. I arose at 5 a.m., thankful I am feeling as well as I am. The Lord has been my helper indeed. He healeth me by His power, so that I have strength to do the work He has appointed me. I will praise His holy name. Today, a brother who embraced the truth last January in this place visited me. He is 50 years old. He has been almost all over the world. He has education, and he and some others have been criticizing the ministers and writers. The language, they say, is very objectionable. I had a long conversation with this brother, who listened with interest, and I hope it will do him good. Copenhagen. I feel rather weak this morning, but my trust is in God. Slept quite well during the night. Breakfast was very little nourishment. Bread and hot water were all I could eat. We leave for the boat in about 3 hours. We are disappointed that W.C. White is not on the boat. I am sorry that we will not have his company. We left for the boat about 11 o'clock. Our party was Elder Madison, Elder Edwin Olson, Sister Ings, and myself. A hack took us to the boat Melchior. There were several of our brethren and sisters to see us off. We bade them farewell, and the steamer left the wharf. We had good accommodations. The water was smooth, the boat good. Ate a couple of crackers and took hot drink for our dinner. About 3 o'clock, the water grew rough, and Sister Ings became sick. The boat labored hard. The waves rolled high. We were both sick. Sister Ings vomited. I did not dare to give up to this, knowing its prostrating influence upon me. I could sleep but a few moments twice in the night. I suffered considerable with fever, hot feet, hot flesh. The waves ran very high. But this was one of the most precious nights of my life. I enjoyed sweet communion with God, and the presence of the Lord and angels seemed to be in my stateroom. The goodness and mercy and love of God to me, so unworthy, seemed to be so abundant. These words of God proclaiming Himself impressed my mind. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus 34, verse 6, 7. I had a sleepless night, suffered with fever and pain, yet my soul was filled with thoughts of God's mercy and His precious promises. How calmly could my soul rest in God, fearing nothing? The declarations of God's love were to me. My faith could grasp the promises and rest in them. I never felt more sensible of feeding on Christ, communing with Christ. It seemed that I was talking with God. My soul was full of consolation and holy joy. The words of promise, to know them, ever view them in a close light, estimate their richness, ponder upon their meaning, consider who speaks them, and trust Him who has unsearchable riches and unspeakable love. I could say with heart and soul, I love Jesus. I love my Heavenly Father. I felt that I was breathing in the atmosphere of heaven. I offered fervent and earnest prayer that I might not be content with momentary flashes of heavenly light, but continually have spiritual illumination. I think I never realized as fully as on this night, when the boat was rocking so violently, that they only who obey the commandments of God have a right to appropriate the promises. These promises are gifts to God's children on condition of obedience. They are not to the Lord's enemies.